Happy New Year. Yeah, I know you've all been there and done that already, but this is our first Sunday together, right? So, Happy New Year. Do you have your goals set for the new year yet? Do you have your goals set? Got those resolutions written, huh? New year, new decade, unless you're an OCD perfectionist who wants to argue that this is the last year of the tens and the new decade doesn't actually start until 2021. I'm never picky about details like that, so I don't know why you'd bring that up. Jeff Henderson, he's a pastor in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Jeff says that the beginning of the new year shows that there are two fundamentally different kinds of people. There are those who set goals and those who don't, right? Goal setters and non-goal setters. And he asks this great question. What happens when a goal setter meets a non-goal setter? They get married. They get married. And I'm telling you that little bit so I can tell you this great story that Jeff tells. It's not my story, it's his, but it's so good I want to tell it to you. Jeff explains that he's the goal setter in his family. His wife isn't. It's their third year of marriage. Their anniversary roughly coincides with the end of a year, beginning of a new year. So he plans this weekend getaway for himself and his wife at this quaint, romantic mountain bed and breakfast, right? But what he didn't tell his wife, because he wanted it to be a surprise, was that he was going to make this a goal-setting weekend. What wife, he says, wouldn't want her husband to have some goals for the new year? Come on. Honey, this could be the best year we've ever experienced, right? So he calls the bed and breakfast owner, and he says, hey, I've got two three-ring binders I'm going to bring up, and I'd like to secretly give them to you during check-in so that my wife doesn't see it. He asked the bed and breakfast owner, they got a flip chart, because, right, you can't have a goal-setting session on a romantic getaway weekend without a flip chart, right? The guy didn't have a flip chart at the bed and breakfast. Can you believe that? But they tracked one down. And so Friday night, he says, we get up there. We eat dinner. We're out on the front porch. It's coffee and dessert. It's this beautiful, picturesque setting. And here comes the bed and breakfast owner with a flip chart and two three-ring binders. And I'm thinking, he says, I'm thinking this is going to be awesome. His wife gets the three-ring binder. And he says, honey, surprise, we're going to have a goal-setting weekend. So if you'll just turn to the first section, we can talk about finances. I mean, is that a guy who knows how to bring in a new year or what? It was a terrible weekend, he says. From the binder moment on, tears, crying, it was awful. Finally, halfway through the weekend, Wendy turned to me and said, Jeff, stop crying, man up. There are goal setters and there are not goal setters. And I don't know where you might fall in either of those two camps. It really doesn't matter for our purposes today. It was a good excuse to tell you a funny story. Really doesn't matter for our purposes today because I'm still betting for every one of us, I am still betting that you'd like this year to be better than last year. That you would like for 2020 to be better than 2019. I don't care if last year was great for you, right? Your best year ever. Nobody ever says, you know, I'm still looking for a little less this year than last, right? Man, I hope this year isn't as good as last year was because last year was awesome. Nobody ever says that, right? No, whether we're goal setters or whether we scorn goal setters, we still all want this year to be better than last. And you know what? Listen, this is one place where you can be sure that what you want for you, God wants for you. What you want for you, God wants for you. I don't know that that's true for everything we want. Sometimes we want some things that just aren't best for us, right? We're like the little kid who wants ice cream for dinner, right? No, you can't, any wise parent, no, you can't have ice cream for dinner. You eat your dinner. We'll see about some ice cream after, but you can't have ice cream for dinner. But this innate desire we all have for this year to be better than last year is something even God wants for us, with us. How do I know that? Well, first of all, I know that it's the nature of our Father to want to see us blessed. It is the nature of our Father to want to see us blessed. And if you're a dad, if you're a father, I mean, unless you are just an absolute moron, and I can't use any stronger language than that, right? But unless you're just a jerk. You want this year for your kids to be even better than last, however good last year was. Last few years for our kids have been awesome. Gotten married, they bought homes. Mike is about to finish college. Right? They've given us grandchildren. Spectacular grandchildren. Right? I mean, the last few years have been especially awesome. Why? Listen, why would I want any less for them this year than last? Of course I don't. I want more. Because when they're blessed, I'm blessed. And if you're a parent, that quality of wanting to see your kids blessed, that innate desire to see our children rise in the blessings they enjoy, we didn't create that desire. It comes from God. It comes from the character of God Himself. Paul says, for this reason, he's praying. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, talking about God, the Father, capital F, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, from whom all fatherhood, some older translations say, all fatherhood in heaven and on earth derives its nature. What it means to be a family grows from what it means to be a father, and what it means to be a father, a parent, comes from God Himself. Our nature, dads, our nature, parents, to invest in our kids and sacrifice for our kids and rejoice when we see them blessed and succeeding is a reflection of the God who is our Father. So if I know this is hard to believe, but if I, as imperfect as I am, that's the supposed to be hard to believe part, right? As incomplete, as selfish, as egotistical as I can be, if I love to see my kids blessed, how much more does our Heavenly Father, who is always perfect in every way, love to see us blessed? Which, of course, is what Jesus Himself says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? How do I know that God wants this year to be even better than the last? Because I know that it is the nature of the Father to want to see us blessed. Beyond that, Jesus Himself says that's the reason He came. He's talking to some Pharisees one day, and he says, the thief, speaking of Satan, speaking of the enemy of our souls, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And the word they here, by that word, Jesus means those who have trusted their lives to Him, those who have entered into the safety of the sheepfold through the one true gate, which is Jesus Himself. I have come, Jesus says to the Pharisees, about those who are truly His. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, more abundantly, the old King James says. Jesus wants this year, right? Jesus wants this, even if last year was the best year you've ever had so far. And I say that aware that for many of us, it probably wasn't, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you've had a year that's been oh so difficult or a year that you don't see could have possibly been any better. Jesus wants this year to be better for you than your last. That's pretty awesome in itself, right? The God of all the universe wants us blessed. My question for you this morning is this: how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? How is this year going to be the strongest, the most fruitful, the most productive, the most positive, powerful year you've ever had? How's that going to happen? And I propose to you that the answer is digging down deep. Digging down deep. That when we dig down deeper, we grow up stronger. That when we grow better roots, we bear better fruits. There's a verse that's highlighted in your bulletin today. It's highlighted in the graphics for this series. It's a verse that's been one of my favorites for years. It's in the middle of this passage from the New Testament book of Ephesians, the letter that Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, right? And that describes how through Christ, God has blessed His church, His people, His body. how when he, Christ, ascended on high, this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, when he ascended on high, and that's a reference to Jesus' ascension into heaven, and with it his exaltation as King of all kings, Lord of all lords, when he ascended on high, he took many captives, that is his resurrection, his exaltation was an indisputable, undeniable victory in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual world. He took many captives. That imagery would have been familiar in the Roman world, where when an enemy was defeated, the defeated foe was marched through town, was put on display as a testimony to the victory achieved. When he ascended on high, and he took many captives, and he did what? He gave gifts to his people. What kind of gifts exactly? Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. I just want you to know I'm God's gift to you. This is a setup. Isn't God good? Okay, good. All right. Good. Y'all good. Y'all did your part real well there. That's good. That's good. All right? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all, everybody say all, reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Doesn't that sound good? Come on, doesn't that sound good? Right? And Paul says, as that happens, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming, which is what happens when our roots don't go down deep, right? The wind blows, the plant fails, it's uprooted, it's tossed to and fro, it goes wherever the wind blows it. Hear or read that story in the news this week where this massive pile of tumbleweeds blew in and closed that highway in Washington State. Did you see that? Tumbleweeds so thick they had to bring out snow plows to remove them. They shut down the highway because of these rootless plants that got in the way of real living. Oh, that we would be no longer infants tossed back and forth and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Rather, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. Today at least, that's the part of the verse I love best. Grow up. No longer infants, we read a moment ago. Now, here's a good amen opportunity. Infants are lovely, aren't they? Right? A new baby is born. Everybody wants to hold a baby. Everybody wants to see the baby. That baby can be the wrinkliest, chubbiest, not at all the prettiest creature you ever looked at. And you're going to hold that baby. And what are you going to say? Oh, isn't that a handsome boy? Isn't that a beautiful girl? Right? And you'd be right. You'd be right. There's nothing lovelier. But if 6 months from now or 2 years from now or 10 years from now, that baby looks like the same little ball of flesh it was when it exited the womb, we got a problem. Right? We got a problem. Why? Because babies were built to grow up. To grow up. And so were we. We were born again to grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And I am here to tell you this morning that growing up higher requires digging down deeper. If this year is going to be a better year for you than last year, if God is going to be able to bring blessings into your life that he longs to bring into your life, blessings you've not even yet imagined, and it is his nature to do just that, he is ready to do, you know this verse, immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine according to his power that is at work within us. That's going to happen. If that's going to happen, it's because we're digging down deep. Because when we dig down deeper, we grow up stronger. When we grow better roots, we produce better fruits. So how are we going to do that? I think I asked that question a minute ago. I'm going to get to an answer any minute now. You got to know that I am about to answer that question, and what I'm about to say is not rocket science. Some of you wish it were. Some of you wish it were, because if it were rocket science, you could say, well, that's beyond me. I can't do that. I can't understand that. That's not a world I'm able to live in. But that's not what we're talking about. When you go to the doctor and he or she says to you, you're going to need to lose some weight, you're going to say what? You're going to say how? And they're going to say what? Diet and exercise, right? They're going to say diet and exercise because we all know what we ought to do. When you go to a financial advisor, okay, wait, I'm not assuming that all of us have a doctor or have a financial advisor. How about this? When you call Dave Ramsey on his radio show, right, and you say, I can't pay my bills and I'm failing at planning for retirement and what should I do? He's going to say what? He's going to say, you lived a whole lot of stupid, buddy, right? Now stop it. Spend less. Pay off your debt, keep spending less, save more. When he says that, really, is he telling you anything you don't already know? We all know this, right? And I don't think I'm about to tell you anything you don't already know when it comes to digging down deeper. I'm inclined to think it really boils down to how bad do you want it? Do you want this year to be better than last? Or are you happy with your spiritual mediocrity? Are you happy with your anemic faith? Are you happy with your puny witness? Are you happy with your faithless prayers? Are you happy with your neglect of holy writ, the scriptures, God's word? Now, I don't know if those kind of accusations I'm throwing around are necessarily true of you or not, but if they are, if any of them are, I do need to ask yourself if you're okay with that. It's the same old, okay with you for this new year. In the opening chapters of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, our Savior delivers a living word to seven representative churches, the churches of Asia Minor. And one in particular comes to mind for us this morning, to me. It's the church at Ephesus. Here's the message that church received. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name. You have not grown weary. So how many of you can see? How many of you can see these are good things to be true of a church? These are good things to be true of the people of God. There is a lot to love about the church at Ephesus. But then the angel of the Lord says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider, stop to think about, reflect on the height from which you have fallen. Repent, which is more than just, gee, I'm sorry about that. It's actually a change of mindset. It's actually a complete transformation of how we think about our lives. Repent and do the things, and do the things you did at first. So here's what I want you to think about this morning. Those of us who want this year, however good or however difficult or not so good last year might have been, those of us who want this year to be better than last, those of us who want to create an avenue into which and through which God can pour out those blessings that a father loves to bestow upon his children, those of us who want everything Jesus wants for us, which is abundant life, right? Life to the full. I want to ask you to think about when your heart first turned to Christ. I want to ask you to think about those days when you were first aware of his great, immeasurable, unmatchable love for you. I want you to think about those moments when you were first aware of the abundance, the bounty of God's grace toward you. Maybe I want you to think about your most passionate season of the pursuit of Jesus, a time in your life when all you wanted was what he wanted for you. So what were those days like? What were you reading? What were you listening to? What were you doing with your spare moments, your discretionary time? Who were you spending time with? Where were you finding encouragement for your soul? If Jesus were to say to you, and I say that because perhaps he is, if Jesus were to say to you, you have forsaken the love you had at first, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. What things would he be talking about? What things would he be talking about? Let me give you some possibilities, and I get it that I'm about to name some basics here. I get it that I am about to give you a list so predictable that you could preach it yourself. But let me ask you, were you perhaps more consistent in your time with his word? Were you perhaps more passionate in your prayers of personal submission to him, or maybe your prayers of intercession on behalf of others before him? When you think about that season in your life when your pursuit of Jesus was most pure and you were aware you were living in the richness of his grace, were you perhaps less casual and more intentional about connecting consistently and encouragingly with those of like precious faith, more engaged in figuring out what it meant to be a full-hearted follower of Christ? Were you perhaps more concerned than you are today that your life make a difference for the King, more hungry to see his kingdom come and his will done in you and through you on earth as it is in heaven, than maybe you are today? If Jesus were to say to you, consider how far you have fallen, if Jesus were to say to you, your intensity for me, your passion for me, your dependence upon me, your daring risk on behalf of me is not what it once was, repent. Repent, repent. That's not a hard-fisted cry from the Savior. That is a plea from a Savior who wants us to live in the abundant life he died to provide. Repent and do the things you did at first. What kind of things would he be talking about? What kind of behaviors would he be challenging you toward? What kind of attitude would he be challenging you toward? What kind of heart that maybe is different from where you are today, would he be calling you to? I'm particularly motivated as we begin a new year together. I'm particularly motivated to do all I can to make sure that we're committed as a church to practicing the basics. That we're in the scriptures together. That we're in the scriptures privately, that we're praying privately together, that we're living in healthy relationship with one another that reflects our beautiful relationship with Christ. And I am motivated toward that. It's one of the reasons we're going to start the year with prayer Wednesday night. We need to pray together. We need, if you'll just say amen to that, I'll feel better. We need to pray together. Now I've just checked down your name and I expect to see you here Wednesday night, 7 p.m. I mean, do you want this year to be better than last or not? And doesn't it come down to digging deeper down, right? Digging down deeper, growing up higher. Better roots, better fruit. I'm motivated towards this kind of stuff because I am convinced of God's heart for us and for the year before us. That it is the nature of the Father to want to see us blessed. I am convinced that that happens, that blessings come as we grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ, that we grow stronger when we dig down deeper, that deeper roots mean better fruits, and that deeper roots really boils down to making sure we're paying attention to the basics. Repent and do the things, and do the things you did at first. So who's up for a better this year than last year? All right. Who's down for deeper roots? Who's ready to do the things you did at first? Who's ready to do the things you did at first? I've invited the worship team to lead us in a song that is familiar to most of us, I think. A song that just expresses our love for, our commitment to Jesus. I'm just asking the Lord to help us in these moments. And I'm asking you to let Jesus speak to you about the things you did at first. The things you did at first. This altar area at the front of the sanctuary is wide open. And if there's a particular tug on your heart, if there's a particular passion in your heart that this year be different than last, even if last year was awesome or if last year was difficult, you just want more of everything God has for you in this year, I want to invite you to come. Maybe you'd like someone to pray with you. You can grab them by the hand and bring them with you, or just pray the Lord to prompt their heart to follow you down when you come to pray. Just for the next few moments, I don't want to twist arms to get you here. I want you to do business with Jesus wherever you do business with Jesus. But I just wonder what Jesus would say to you if he were to say to you, do the things you did at first. And if I can pray with you about that, or someone else can pray with you about that, you're invited to do that as the worship team leads us. Father, thank you for the sweetness of your word and presence today. Thank you for your patience and grace in continually welcoming us into and back into a depth of relationship with you. Deeper roots, better fruit. Rooted and established in your love, growing up into him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. So now in these closing moments, as we just bring our hearts before you, this time is yours. Do in us and through us exactly what you want to do. We want everything you have for us. And we welcome your work. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
All things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant praise remains the cornerstone. The things that we